Okay, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 116, if you will. I had was all ready to do the second half of last week's message, and I did this message for chapel on Tuesday for the teens, and in the school, and I don't know. The Lord just kind of said, "I think I want you to do it again." Some of these principles you probably have heard, but I don't think anybody else was in there to hear it on Tuesday. I think maybe Lexi was in there for a little bit, but she's working out here in the ministry someplace tonight. And so it's new for everybody else. So Psalm 116, let me read through it so you get the context, and then we're going to walk through this passage quickly. Psalm 116, verse number 1. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. That's what I said. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, not the realm of the dead. I get to live another day. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And I will take the cup of salvation. Watch those two verses. Look at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What should I give or do for him for all the amazing things that he's done for us? You know, when we think about that, you think about, well, maybe I should give a little extra in the offering at Christmas. Maybe I should serve in the nursery or work on the buses. And all those things are good. You should do them. But what should I do? What should I render unto the Lord? And then watch this, verse 13. I know what I'll do. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I think I'll get saved. And after I'm saved, I'm going to pray to him to help meet my needs. Now you think about that. He's done so much for me. Now see, it's like when we see Mother's Day and Father's Day, you say, okay, Mama's done so much for us, so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to give her breakfast in bed, and we're going to, we're take her out for a nice lunch, we're going to clean up our rooms, you know, all this kind of stuff. And Mom says, please don't make breakfast in bed. Please don't do that. Please don't do it. You know, I'll tell you what, I'll make breakfast for all of you. Let me do it, because that's what I like doing as a mom. And he said, I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the eye and in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, we're a bother on both sides before we've done anything for him, even after we've done anything for him. But he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And now that's to say, well, I'm sure glad they're dead. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, it's so good to have them home. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid thou hast loosed my bonds. So you've given me life, and I want to serve you. I don't always do the right thing. Sometimes we make more of a mess in the kitchen trying to be trying to prepare Father's Day lunch for you, but we want you. We love you. And I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. How's that? And will call upon the name of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the word sacrifice really kind of means it was a ritual. In fact, there's a lot of those sacrifices where they roasted the meat, but then the whole congregation ate it. We were sacrificing it to God, and then the Lord gets pleased by seeing his children provided for. And he says, I'm going to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. By doing what? By calling on the name of the Lord. And I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of thy Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. I'm going to pray, and we're going to talk about this. If you are thankful, call. It's not really, you know, it's not the way we think often. But what a peace and a relief it is when we know that what God wants us to do is to call on him. He wants to be the daddy. We can cry unto him, Abba, Father. His spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are his children. So let's pray. If you're thankful, call. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for your love and for your grace, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, you know, it's hard for us to understand because you know, we do so much less than you do for anybody. And yet we think about it as some great strain on us and some great work of righteousness that we've done. But in your eyes, and compared to you, even our righteousness are only filthy rags. So help us see the principle behind this and help us do it here this evening in a way that blesses our folks and see really how we want to turn this thought around. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. When someone does something nice for us, we like to return the favor. We like to do something for them, something special, maybe something that you can't do for them, that they can't do for themselves or wouldn't do for themselves. And around Christmas time, we tend to give gifts. And at times we may give gifts that we say how much we appreciate that particular person for all they've done for us. One thing that really bothers me is trying to find a gift for someone who has everything. My father's like that. If he needed something, he just went out and bought it. If he wanted something, he just went out and bought it. And you ask him what he wants for Christmas, I don't know, you know. And so you're trying to find out something that he would like. Now, he was a mechanic. Now, on their property, that mom still lives there, he had three main buildings. In fact, and plus a lawnmower shed, you know, a utility shed. And they were kind of scattered out on the property. And my dad found this particular brand of small air compressor. He just thought, and he thought that was just the greatest thing. So that Christmas, he bought me one, and he bought my son-in-law's one. I don't know whether he bought the, they were a little younger, but he probably bought one for Sterling. And anyway, he thought they were great. Not only did he want one, but he wanted one in every building. So he just got one, put it in every building. You know, he wrenches. You know, you always need a socket. You never have the right size wrench. You don't want to be, you know, you're down in one building trying to work on this. So what do you do? He gets a set of tools for each of the buildings, so he doesn't have to run around looking for something. And so he has had everything. You know, if he had a need for something, he didn't ask me. He had a whole lot more resources than I do. And what do you give a person who has everything? Well, at Thanksgiving, we set aside a time to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for all that He's done, which is quite a bit. The problem is how to express thanks to someone who has everything. I mean, literally, He owns everything. Psalm 50 says, Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. And I will not reprove thee for the sacrifices or thy burnt offerings who have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills. And I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts, and the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. This is God talking. If I was hungry, I'm not going to tell. I'm going to tell you. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. Sometimes I think we forget who God is. So if God already has everything, what can we do to express our gratitude for all that He has done? What would God really like to have from us? I'm going to give you a couple preliminary thoughts, and then I'll get to the main thought here. This is going to go fast. First thing, number one, the blessings of life come from God. We have to just realize that no matter what it is, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Listen, God started the cycle of blessing. You know how we give gifts sometimes because someone else gave us a gift? And you know how we send Christmas cards out, you know? And if someone sends you a Christmas card that you didn't send them one, you quick get one and put it in the mail, you know? And so we want to reciprocate. 1 John 4 says, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 19 goes on and says, We love Him because He first loved us. Why do we love the Lord? We're human. Because He loves us. We really don't initiate a lot of love. We receive a lot of love. And a lot of times we may give a lot of love in response to the love that we've received. But that's what's going on there. James 1:7 says, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He says in verse 1, He hath heard my voice and my supplications. He heard my voice. He heard the prayer to entreat God. God desires, look at verse 2, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. You know why He hears? Because He's been listening. He's been listening. He wants to be a blessing. He inclined His ear. He leaned over to hear what He had said. In fact, it could be that we just kind of muttered it to ourselves and didn't even say a prayer to the Lord. And a lot of times He's listening. That gets figurative because He can hear your heart. He knows all, He can hear everything. But the fact is, the point is this, He wants to know. He wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants to know what you have need of. God looks for ways to bless us. The Lord is looking to and fro across the whole world to show Himself strong. There you go, good. Strong on behalf of those who are perfect. His heart are perfect toward Him. I just pretend I didn't know. On the other hand, for our good, God is not going to bless sinfulness because then we will continue to sin, and knowing that sin will eventually have a negative consequence, God does what He can do. He discourages sin and lives, and our lives. He discourages sins in our lives, and also He will not encourage it. But another, basically, He wants to bless you. And I've learned something. He says here, verse 2, He says, watch, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore, watch it, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. Because He hath inclined His ear, there's your first blanks there, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Why would you bother calling on the Lord? Because He inclines His ear unto me. Because He wants to know what's going on. Now, He already knows, but He wants us to know that He knows. I learned that God answers prayers because I've learned that my Heavenly Father stretches toward us, goes out of His way to hear my prayers. And I've begun calling on Him, is what He's saying here, and will continue to do so as long as I live. Number two. I'm sorry, I didn't do a whole lot of those headings, did I? Thankful. Oh, y'all, that's right, you don't have blanks. Never mind. You don't need to write those down then. We're always having blanks on Wednesday. Number two. He said we need to be thankful for salvation. Verse 3. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So he inclines me. Now he says, I'm going to give you an example here, a scenario, if you will. He says, I remember my first call to my first prayer and my request. He says, my first big prayer was for salvation. The fact is, the first prayer that God is going to hear on our behalf, because we prayed it, is our prayer of repentance for forgiveness and acceptance of the gift of salvation. Now, you listen, the Lord is merciful to all the dumb animals across the world. And He's merciful to us. Whether you give God, you know, 2 seconds of your time or not, He tries to, He meets you in mercy to try to bring you the truth, because that's who He is. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the fact is, we got to come to salvation, and we got to come to Him with our heart. And He says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beg you, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And you know what? Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I'm stupid, but He still took care of me. That's what He's saying. What do I have to offer Him? And yet He turned around and answered my prayer and saved my soul and got my feet out of the miry clay. Think about it. He says that salvation comes when we realize our true sinful state and the status of our spiritual well-being. Sorrows. That word sorrows has the idea of being twisted rope. Even has the idea of a noose. Bound by a cord and snared by the tackling, a fisherman's tackling. He said, I remembered my lost state, and I remember that I was stuck in that thing. There was no way out. There I was, lost, as bad as a ball in high weeds. And what was I going to do? And so he says, I had those sorrows. In other words, the noose of death was all over me. It had a good hold on me. I finally realized that I was totally bound by the noose of death. And then he said the pains of hell. You know the distress that comes, that you feel in your stomach? You know, the pit of your stomach ached because of the realization of my impending doom. He said, it isn't the pains of hell. When I really realized that I was lost and headed to hell, it hurt. It got a hold of me. It hit me right to the core. That's what he's saying here. It says, it got hold of me. The sense of my own sinfulness, my accountability to God, just twisted me and grabbed me to a stomach-wrenching distress. I found trouble and sorrow. I discovered what a tight spot I was in, and that the trouble of that adversary had set before me, and the affliction and the grief, and I was headed. I'm sorry. It reminded me of all the affliction and grief that I was headed for. That was my life. Look at verse 4 again. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, beseech thee, deliver my soul. So because I saw my condemned state, I called upon the name of the Lord. That word there is that a call to name. That word called there means to accost. one time somebody thought I was my father, and we're walking down the street. We always looked a lot alike. We sound a lot alike, and he was usually in a suit and tie, and so I was in a suit and tie, and they just thought it was my father. And I got down the road there, and we all the Walshes walked like this, you know, and we got these round shoulders and all this stuff. So it looked just like it from the back. And he said, oh, Mr. Walsh. He ran in, and he could say he accosted me. He grabbed a hold of my arm, and he turned me around and went, oh. And anyway, he thought I was somebody that I wasn't, but he accosted me. The Lord's saying here, what this guy's saying here is that I accosted the Lord. In other words, I wasn't going to let him go. This was my chance for life again. I know that he will not turn me down. And so it said, I called on him. I called on him, grabbed a hold of him, and I cried, Lord, I beseech you. Meaning, I need your love now. Deliver my soul. Rescue me from the slippery place where I stand before I slide into hell. I'm sliding into hell. I'm slipping into hell, Lord. And we do. We stand in slippery places. And life is a vapor. We can easily slip into eternity in one breath. He says, I called upon your name. And that was everything that appealed to the name of the Lord represents. Love and righteousness and mercy. And verse 5 says, I discovered how wonderful God is when I called upon him. What's that? Gracious is the Lord. Boy, he's gracious. It's amazing what he'll do for an old simple person like me, lost in their sin. And righteous. He always does right. One who is right, that he can make us right and can cleanse us. And then he says, and God is merciful. We're not leaving yet. Okay. Sorry. God is merciful. That means he shows tenderness, compassion, and love. I turned that down because I didn't want to go before we finish our message this morning here, this evening. Anyway, number 6. He says, God knows our helpless estate. You've heard me say how many times, God knows I'm stupid. He says, look at verse 6. They have ears and they have not noses. I'm sorry, no, 6, here we go. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. God preserves the simple. I mean, how many times do you think, well, I think that guy's too dumb to get saved? You ever, I hate to say that, did you ever think that? I know some people have got that. I don't know. I think that guy's too dumb to get saved. And God preserves the simple. He preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. He made up the difference. I wanted to be saved. He made up the difference. He preserveth. He put a hedge about to guard. Thank God he spared our lives until we grabbed a hold of the Savior's hand. Says, I was brought low. I was made low. I was made feeble, oppressed, and made thin so our weakness was visible to us. We would seek a deliverer. He showed us how weak and how unable we are to make our way to heaven on our own. And so he brought that to our attention. So in his love, brought me low, hedged me in about the same time until I came to the senses and sought deliverance. God helped me to open wide. And that word help me, he said, he opened wide. He gave me a whole new life to start. Free, made me safe, gave me victory. God saw my foolish ways that were sending me into the pit of despair and eventually death and hell. And so he placed a hedge about me, but at the same time allowed me to be brought low, feel the sorrow, feel the pains of hell, that I would fear my sinfulness. Did you hear that? Fear my sinfulness. And seek his deliverance. That's God's grace. Number 3. How thankful should I be for my salvation? How thankful I should be for my salvation. Look at verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. He said, you know, I was simple. I didn't know I was lost. I was going about life like people go about life. But God in his mercy and his graciousness, he brought me to the point that I realized that I'm a lost critter. I'm gonna go down and be fried in hell, and it's gonna be awful. But you know what? I also remember that he saved me, I got saved, and I returned to my rest. They say ignorance is bliss. If you don't know it's as bad, you don't know it's going to hurt you, you don't care. But he brought him to a point where he knew his state. And then he gave him life. And he says, you know what? I had a peace that was better than what I had before. Because now I know for sure. I should remember my salvation. That's caused my soul to rest, to be quiet, peaceful, have consolation, to rest in the security of a covenant relationship. God's given his word to me. In fact, it has the idea of rest and peace within in the idea of marriage. This is marriage should be a comfort, not a problem, not a thorn in your side. Marriage should be that thing where a home is a respite, is a safe haven. By the way, that takes two. That doesn't mean one giving all the commands and the other one's doing all the commands. That doesn't mean one is always right and the other one has to do exactly what he said. Or she said. I've seen it go the other direction too. If our home is not a peaceful rest, it's out of the will of God. That's the honest to goodness truth. I don't know how else to say it and make sure you hear it. And if it's out of the will of God, that means somebody, one of the two in that covenant, is out of the will of God. At least one. Most likely, 99.99999999999, it's something out of both of you. Only by pride cometh contention. Sometimes the pride's on one person's side, and sometimes the pride is measured on the other person's side. Sometimes on both sides. God saved you in the first place. Go back and return to the thought of his mercy and salvation. We need to remember that Jehovah has dealt bountifully with us. Number eight, God's deliverance is expansive. Expansive. You could say it's also expensive. It cost the life of our Savior. But God's delivered us from hell. Can he not also deliver us from anything this world can throw at us? Eyes from tears. Look what it says here in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are all liars. Well, of course they all. Let God be true and every man a liar. There shall no wise enter into it. All liars. You hear that? All men are liars. Well, tell God something he doesn't know. All men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for his benefits toward me? Watch this. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to take the offer of eternal life and call upon the name of the Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I think it also means this. I'm going to get saved, and then I'm going to continue to call on the name of the Lord. Not to continue my salvation. Make sure it's paid in full and up to date. It hasn't expired. Now that's why we're talking about it. I'm going to continue to call upon the name of the Lord because he's now my Heavenly Father. I got saved by faith. I'm going to live by faith. The just are to live by faith. And so he says, I will pay my vows, verse 14, unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I'm going to show my appreciation to God. And watch me. Hang on now. Getting to the nitty-gritty here just for the next few couple minutes. I will show my appreciation to God by telling the world how good God is. So I want to pay my vows. That word pay there means to be friendly to reciprocate the good. The goodness that God has done for us. So I'm going to pay my vow, my promise, or we could say even better, more than this, what I owe. He says, I'm going to show the good that the Lord has done that I owe him. And how's that? In the presence of all his people, in front of or in full view of every tribe and nation. Now, the best way to thank God for what he's done is, watch, by allowing everyone else I come in contact with to know what my wonderful, gracious, righteous, and merciful Heavenly Father has done for me and wants to be their Father too. The best thing I can do for my Heavenly Father is to show everybody else how wonderful my Heavenly Father is. The best way I can thank God for what he's done is allowing everyone to come in contact with to know about him. The best way to show the world my trust in God is by paying my vow by trusting God in the presence of his people, trusting him more. Do you openly trust God or do you get shy about it? There's some people who get kind of embarrassed. In fact, they think they're kind of helping God out. What if he doesn't call upon them? They're going to make him look bad. He's a big boy. Take care of himself. Verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But God is looking forward to having you in heaven anyway. Let me jump down here. We're running out of time. Verse 16. For all that God has done, I give him all that I am. Verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. How do I give thanks to the Lord, someone who has everything, by letting everybody else know he can give them everything too? You know, you come to a point at Christmas time. You're actually, you know, it doesn't take long. You know, the baby's first Christmas, and you're not as excited, you're not all hepped up about what you're going to get for Christmas. All of a sudden, what's the kids going to get for Christmas? That's what you're excited about. Not so excited necessarily to be blessed, but to be a blessing. And being a blessing is a blessing. It is a blessing. We change our mind and our thoughts about these things. It's like saying, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound, but now I'm free. God has done so many things. Watch. You've heard me say this. I said it in a different context, but if I really wanted to show my wife what a good cook she is, I wouldn't stand there in our kitchen and say, I would do this too, but that's really not going to do anything. I mean, boy, you're good. You're worthy of my praise. That's how a lot of songs are these days. We praise you, we're worthy of our praise. The Lord is worthy of our praise. And we're going to praise you. Yes, we are. We're going to praise you. You haven't praised him yet. You've talked about praising him, but you haven't praised him. I still believe the best way to praise the Lord is by you telling somebody else how good the Lord is. Do you know how the stars and the moon and the galaxies all praise the Lord? They all do. The Bible says they do. How do they do it? By doing exactly what they were told to do when they were created. And they've been doing it in the last 8, 9, 10,000 years, whatever it is that we've had man on, we've had this creation in the universe here. It hasn't been millions of years. It hasn't been hundreds of thousands. But they've been doing what they need to do by doing what they're supposed to do. And that's how we praise the Lord, by doing what we're supposed to do, by showing that we really actually believe him. One of the greatest proofs that the disciples believed that the resurrection was true, and thus the proof of the resurrection, even by the secular world, is the fact that the disciples were willing to be martyred because they wouldn't deny that Jesus rose again. What they said, I'm not going to do that. Because he did rise again. You know, I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to turn my back on him. See, that's a great way to praise him. What am I going to do? If I'm going to tell, when we first got married, my wife made this rice and ground beef stuff. First time she made dinner for me. And she eats to live. I live to eat. And so there usually changes the recipe. And of course, I was with my sweetie. It didn't really matter, you know. That was the kind of time you kind of lost your appetite anyway because you're with her. You know how that goes. And you're not thinking about food. But apparently she could tell that I wasn't necessarily jumping up and down. She went out and bought a Betty Crocker cookbook. And she found, my mom used to make a good lasagna. My mom made a good lasagna. You would think she was Italian, but I don't think she is. But she got the recipe for lasagna out of the Betty Crocker cookbook. She made it. Brother, that was the best lasagna I'd ever had in my life. Even better than mom's. I mean, it was good. And you know what I found myself doing? You're going to have some of her lasagna. Now, I told her it was good. I loved it. And we need to do it again. And she makes a great big pan of it. She puts a big slab on there. It's about all you can eat, you know, one slab. And in fact, you know how pasta is? It gets better as the week goes along. Now, I don't know why that is, but it gets better. The cheese gets browner, you know, and everything cooks into it, you know. And sometimes you pour a little extra sauce on top of it to wet it up a little bit there. But it gets better as the week goes. And some people's lasagna, the cheese gets dry and hard. And you know what I mean? Not this. This is good stuff. And so I found myself telling everybody else how good my wife's lasagna was. And I'd go ahead and embarrass her. I'd do it right in front of her. I said, you got to try her lasagna. It's just the best. That was praise. That was thanksgiving. And that's what the Lord is that's all he wants. He doesn't really want us to go out and advertise that he's a good cook. He wants our heart from an overflowing spirit say, isn't he wonderful? And then do what he tells you to do. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, You bought me with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man within wherein he is called, therein abide with God. 1 Corinthians 6, for we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Romans 12:1, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're his. Verse 17, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The worship of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. He says, listen, my holy and true worship is to attest to all that God has done. And I show my faith in all that God has done by continuing to live by faith in all that he promises to do in the future. That's how you give thanksgiving to God. Live faithful and continue to go to him. You realize it's not hard for him. It's no harder for him to do that than anything else. Philippians 4:4, rejoice the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known. Everybody should watch you that you're cool, calm, and collected. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Lord's here. Why aren't you scared? Lord's here. Why weren't you scared 3 weeks ago? Well, there wasn't any problems. Well, what's the difference? The Lord, who can do all things, was there with us, and now he's here with us. What's the worst that can happen to you? You die and go to heaven. The best way to show my gratitude to God is not by religious rituals, but by attesting to God's name, his power and might and faithfulness, by living with and rejoicing, not complaining and murmuring and discouraged, but living in moderation, being even keeled, not vacillating with the circumstances, not worrying, not giving all, but giving all things to God with thanksgiving. For all that he does, knowing that of God, God will do that which is best, so as he hedges us about, yet bring us low so that we can come to him. Once more, the way to pay God back for all his goodness is to live a life of faith and trust in God in the presence of the world, both the world in general and the folks who are already part of God's family. In this way, I have the best opportunity to bring the best of best gifts he could ever receive. What's that? Eternal souls of men and women, boys and girls. We should begin to show our gratitude to God by first giving our own eternal soul. Get saved. Give God yourself. Second, show your thanks by calling on him. Pray without ceasing, relying on him in life. And thirdly, we show our gratitude to God by bringing him the eternal souls of others. How do you say thanks to God? I'm asking you personally. As what he's given you salvation and blessing. You know what? Ask for some more. Well, I've already got more than I deserve. Any was more than you deserve. Ask for some more. Because then he says, you know what? You believe that I'm merciful and that I'm gracious and you'll call on me and I'm faithful. And tell others about the Lord so they can get in on the deal. Let others get in on the deal. There's more where that came from. It's not just us. The best way to show your gratitude and thank God is by going back for more. Calling the Lord. That's what he's looking for. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, being greedy. Just trying to get a lot of stuff that you don't need. But we all have enough needs. We need to help him through. We want him to help us through the life. Take those.